Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Abadagani, Hotep, and peace be unto you. We have a repeat program for you tonight. We recorded on 6/23 a program titled, and let us be accurate with the titles here, A Continuation into Demons and Mental Health, Spiritual Health, Part 2. We will be replaying that program for you this evening. It is dedicated to, and let's call her, my beloved Sarah, the wife of the prophet Abraham, mother of a nation. I am choosing this particular title because it reflects me and where my mind is at today for my loved one, the love of my life, my vision. It reflects the struggle, the war, and the fight that my Sarah is in. She can win this battle. I've often said, it does not matter what others believe, but if you believe it, then we fight it where you believe until we can knock out the brain of the falsehood that what you believe is delivering. So, demons, mental health and spiritual health, your struggle is my struggle, and our struggle is the glory of God, and your well-being is my purpose. So, let us continue it, demons and mental health and spiritual health, on this edition of Not So Mad Science on Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
From the far reaches of the known universe, we are proud to present Brother Harold Muhammad, soldier, scientist, scholar. Blog Talk Radio's finest, not so mad science, on Black Hole Radio.
Assalamu alaikum, and welcome to tonight's edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. That's because Barry Gordy took Motown to L.A. If not, Detroit has lost its soul. We have an interesting program tonight. It's essentially a part two of what we have been of last show dealing with demons, mental and spiritual health. Because this is such a volatile subject matter,
because this program, this particular show on mental health, I'm getting away from the current theme of the coronavirus, which has been overwhelming the airwaves. I'm getting away from my traditional platform as being specifically with the more traditional silence. But these programs for mental health, spiritual health, demons and hateful things that tear down life, because you love someone is not enough. Love, though it may be the major portion of what you need, it is not all you need. It is a beginning, a seed that needs cultivation to grow. It is cultivated and fed with the respect for the human, their thoughts, their feelings, their ideas, their wants, and their needs. Having that healthy respect for that person allows you to develop them. This person is nurtured with your time. Time does not mean you're with this person all day long, every single day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That's not what that means. It means the time that is shared. It is such significant quality that the person's life is invigorated and grown because of the time. It's a dedication to grow your life. Love needs the best friend. That friend that wakes up every day wanting to believe in you. Love needs to know you are there. It needs to know that you're their favorite person to see in the light of day and the calm of night. This love is cared for life. So to my beloved Sarah, to whom this program is dedicated, this is God's time, and he never fails. Will only he can inspire that kind of love in a human being or another. So to my beloved Sarah, demons can be healed by knowing who they are and calling that demon by their name and understanding he is and does. Allows you to strip that demon of any power to bring you to fear and anxiety. Mental health is merely the action of knowing who you are and accepting responsibility without fear, but with the courage and grace. Spiritual balance is achieved by having faith in God's love and know that which makes you happy with yourself, that you can be yours out of fear of your life. So to you, my dear Sarah, let me say, let me love you for your life so that you can be the mother of the nature. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network for tonight's program. So we are going to open with the poem by Daniel Beatty, Knock Knock. And we're going to open with that because we're knocking at that door, because I want you to know that we are here. And we will not quit. Knock, knock.
As a boy, I shared a game with my father. Played it every morning till I was three. He would knock, knock on my door, and I'd pretend to be asleep till he got right next to the bed. Then I would get up and jump into his arms. morning, Papa. And my Papa, he would tell me that he loved me. Knock, knock. And so that day when the knock never came. And my mama takes me on a ride past cornfields on this never-ending highway till we reach a place of high, rusty gates. A confused little boy, I enter the building carried in my mama's arms. Knock, knock. We reach a room of windows and brown faces. Behind one of the windows sits my father. I jump out of my mama's arms and run joyously towards my papa, only to be confronted by this window. I knock, knock, trying to break through the glass, trying to get to my father. I knock, knock, as my mama pulls me away before my papa even says a word. And for years, he has never said a word. And so 25 years later, I write these words for the little boy in me who still awaits his papa's knock. Papa, come home, because I miss you. Miss you waking me up in the morning and telling me you love me. Papa, come home, because there's things I don't know, and I thought maybe you could teach me how to shave, how to dribble a ball, how to talk to a lady, how to walk like a man. Papa, come home, because I decided a while back I want to be just like you, but I'm forgetting who you are. And 25 years later, a little boy cries, and so I write these words and try to heal and try to father myself, and I dream of a father who says the words my father did not, dear son. I'm sorry I never came home. For every lesson I failed to teach, hear these words. Shave in one direction with strong, deliberate strokes to avoid irritation. Dribble the page with the brilliance of your ballpoint pen. Walk like a god, and your goddess will come to you. No longer will I be there to knock on your door. You must learn to knock for yourself. Knock, knock down doors of racism and poverty that I could not. Knock, knock on doors of opportunity for the lost brilliance of the black men who crowd these cells. Knock, knock with diligence for the sake of your children. Knock, knock for me, for as long as you are free, these prison gates cannot contain my spirit. The best of me still lives in you. Knock, knock with the knowledge that you are my son, but you are not my choices. Yes, we are our father's sons and daughters, but we are not their choices. But despite their absences, we are still here, still alive, still breathing, with the power to change this world.
Inorganic mental illness and psychosomatic illness is the reactive engram bank. The reactive mind impinges these engrams upon the analytical mind and the organism whenever they are re-stimulated after being keyed in. You will come to understand what I mean by keying in as we get a little further on in tonight's discussion. There are many known incidents in a life currently has a profound influence upon the happiness and mental condition individual. The individual remembers these and to them attributes his or her troubles. In a measure, he or she is right. He or she is at least looking back at the incidents which are held in by the engram. You do not see the engram. In fact, unless you are uniquely acquainted with psychology or psychiatry, counseling, you would not even know the engram were there. And even then, you will not know their content until you have undergone some form of therapy. Yet, it can be demonstrated with ease that any moment of conscious level unhappiness, which contains great stress or emotion, was not guilty of the charge of causing aberration. Find the word aberration so that we are all on the same page. So let me give you the definition of aberration. Aberration is any deviation or departure on rationality. It is used in psychiatry to include psychosis, neuroses, compulsion, and depressions of all kinds and classifications. Okay? Pain, great stress or emotion, was not guilty of the charge of causing aberration and psychosomatic illness. These moments, of course, play a role in the matter. They are the key end to your issue and problem. The process of keying in an engram is not very complex. Engram 105, let's just say, throw a number out, was a moment of unconsciousness. I'm giving an example. When the prenatal trial was struck, through the mother by the father. The father, aware or not of the child, uttered these words when striking the mother. God damn you. You filthy whore, you're no good. This child, after being struck by the father through the mother, consciously and subconsciously hears these words, whether they render understanding or not, hears them. This engram lays where it was impressed. In the reactive bank, in the reactive mind, in that reactive memory, imprinted on that engram. Now, it could lay there, dormant, for 25, 50, 25, 30, 70 years, and never become keyed in. It contains a headache and a falling body, and the grating of teeth and the intestinal sounds of the mother. And any of these sounds, post-birth or after you're born into the world, in large quantities without keying in the engram. So let's just say one day, the father becomes exasperated at the child. Child is tired and feverish, which is to say that his or her analytical mind may not be at its highest level of activity. And the father has a certain set of engrams which he dramatizes. And one of these engrams is the incident I described above, where the father strikes the mother with the prenatal infant inside and yells, "God damn you, you filthy whore, you are no good." This engram is now keyed in. After the father reaches out and slaps the child and says, "God damn you, you're no good," the child cries. That night, he or she has a headache and is much worse physically. Not only does he or she feel both an intense hatred and fear of the father, the engram has keyed in. Now, the sound of a falling body or the grating of teeth or any trace of anger of any kind in the father's voice will make the child nervous. His or her physical health will suffer. He or she will begin to have headache and extreme anxiety. If we take this child, who has now become an adult, and rake back over their past, we will discover, though it may be occluded or blocked by something, a rock like the above key in. And now, not only the key in, we may discover half a hundred or a couple thousand such rocks on the mind, just as this one subject of being called no good and a whore is now a lock in the mind. So we could say, unless you have a complete understanding of psychology and psychiatry and counseling, that this child was ruined postnatally by being beaten by the father, and one might attempt to bring the patient's mind back into better condition by removing those rocks from the mind. There are literally thousands, tens of thousands of rocks in the average life. To take all these rocks away would be a task for Hercules. Well, I'm here to tell you today, not only am I stronger than Hercules, I'm stronger than Sam. And I'm brighter to life than a father. Every engram a person has, if it has been keyed in, may have hundreds of locks attached to it. If the proper conditioning existed as a mechanism of pain and stress, mankind would be in a very bad condition. Fortunately, conditioning does not so exist. At least not that kind of conditioning. It appears to exist, but the appearance is not. One would think that if a child were merely, or rather daily, brushed around and reviled, he or she would eventually become conditioned into a belief that this was the way life was to be, and that he or she had better turn it against you. Conditioning, I say to you clearly, does not, however, exist. Pavlov may have been able to drive dogs mad by the repeated experiments. This was simply bad observation on Pavlov's part. The dogs might be trained to do this or that, but it was not conditioning. The dogs went mad because they were given engrams if and when they did boy who was daily told he was no good and who apparently went into a decline solely because of that, declined only because of the engram, not his will. This is a happy fact. The engram may take a while to locate, a few hours, but when it is alleviated or refiled in the standard memory bank, everything which has locked onto it also refiles. We can break the demon code in the cycle of pain. People trying to help others with their aberrations who did not know about engrams were, of course, operating with 2.9 strikes against them against any success. The lock on the mind, the locks themselves, may vanish down into the reactive bank in the mind. Thus, you get a patient who says, oh, my father wasn't so bad. He was a pretty good guy. I'm going to put it this way, personal reflection. Bullshit. Wasn't a good guy. But that doesn't mean he can't be helped. And we discovered, and the patient discovered, when an engram is strong, that father was customarily to be found dramatized. What the patient knows about his past before engrams are sprung is not worth a terrible child. That's right, I said a terrible child. I was beaten seriously. And we discover when we get the engram refiled in the mind, in the standard memory bank, never laid a hand on him in punishment or wrath in his entire life. It was only imagination due to a demon circuit giving a memory that does not exist. An engram may coast along without being keyed in for decades. One of the most remarkable types of cases in which one sent an entire youth without displaying any aberration. Then suddenly at the age of 26, suffer him or her to be so aberrated, so suddenly that it appears he or she must have been hexed. A spell was put on them. Perhaps most of his or her engrams were concerned with the absence of getting married and having children. He has never been married before. The first time he is weary or ill and realizing he has his wife on his hands, the first engram, the demon circuit, the fear, the anxiety is keyed in. Then the dwindling spiral begins to go to work on you. This one shuts down the analyze, your capacity to think, your cognitive ability to assess and make rational determinations. Therefore, the shutting down of your analyzer, enough so engrams can be keyed in. And finally, we may discover him or her in an institution. The young girl who had been happy and carefree to the age of 13 then suddenly goes into decline, has not that moment received an engram. She has had an engram keyed in, which let another engram key in. It is a process of a fission reaction. This key in may have required nothing more than the discovery that she was bleeding from the vagina. She has an emotional engram about this. She becomes frantic. The other engram, as the day follows, may swing into position to impinge upon her. And so she becomes ill. The first sexual experience may be one which keys in an engram. This is so standard that sex has gotten a rather bad name for itself here. And there are being an aberrative factor all by itself. Sex is not and never has been aberrated. Physical pain and emotions, which incidentally contain sex as a subject, are the aberrative factors. It may be that a patient is urgent in her insistence that her father raped her when she was 9, and that this is the cause of all her misery. Large numbers of insane patients claim this. And it is not perfectly true. Father did not rape her, but it happened. She was only 9 days beyond conception at the time. The pressure and upset of coitus is very uncomfortable to the child and normally can be expected to give the child an engram, which will have at its content sexual acts and everything that was said. Drug hypnosis is dangerous. When one is trying to treat psychotics, as has been mentioned, and there are other reasons it is dangerous, any operation under anesthetic or any drugging of a patient may bring about the keying in of engrams. So I caution you, beware of the pharmaceutical drugs to sedate you, you go to sleep, to give you pause, to rest. Beware, they don't help you overcome the problem. Why? Here, the analyzer shuts down. There is the reactive bank open to be stirred by any comment made by the people around the drugged subject. Hypnotism itself is a condition in which engrams may be keyed in, which have never before been re-stimulated. The glassy-eyed stare of the person who has been too often hypnotized. The lack of will seen in people too often hypnotized. The dependence of the subject upon the hypnotic operator. All these things stem from the keying in of engram. Anytime the body is rendered unconscious without physical pain, no matter how light the degree of unconsciousness is, even if it is only the lightest of weariness, an engram may be keyed in. And when unconsciousness is complicated by new physical pain, a new engram is formed, which may gather up with it an entire bundle of old engrams not hitherto keyed in. Such a late engram would be a cross engram or a mixing demon circuit in the mind. And if such an engram resulted in a loss of sanity, it would be called a break engram or a psychotic break in consciousness. There are some aspects to various drugs. Unconsciousness which has been very perplexing in the past. Psychotic women often maintain after they are awakened from a drug sleep, and sometimes a hypnotic sleep, that they have been raped. Men occasionally maintain that the operator has tried to perform a homosexual act upon them while they were drugged. Although it occasionally occurs that people are raped after being drugged, the largest number of such assertions are merely an aspect of the TN mechanism. Almost any child has been put through the prenatal discomfort of sports. Often there was violent emotion other than passion present. Such an ingrown. They stay out of circuits for years until drugged unconsciousness or some such thing keys it in. The patient who goes to sleep keyed in England, he or she wakes up with one. He or she tries to justify the strange sensations he has, and engrams are timeless things unless they are arranged properly on the time track of your thought, and comes out with the solution that he or she must have been raped. Childhood rape seldom responds to this. Or I should say a responsible cause in sexual aberration. They are the key hand. One looks at the conscious level rocks and sees sadness, mental anguish, and misfortune. Some of the experience there seems to be so terrible that it must certainly cause aberration, but it does not. Man is a tough, brilliant creature. These conscious level experiences are best only guideposts leading towards the actual seat of trouble. And that is not known in any detailed way to the individual. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. A brief pause, do a little station identification, as we are here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I'm going to take a few minutes to listen to the Lakota Dance. Yeah. Welcome back, welcome back. Let's get right back at it. This is not from that science. It's your host for the Harold Muhammad here on the Black Hole Radio Network. Once again, and as always, coming to you live from the city of Detroit. Now, want to look at the conscious level locks and see sadness and mental anguish and misfortune. Some of the experience there seems to be so terrible that it must certainly cause you to have an aberration. But it does not. As I said earlier, man is a self-beginning creature. These conscious level experiences are only guideposts leading toward the actual root of your troubles. And that is not known in any detailed way to individuals. The engram is never computed. An example of this, on a lightly aberrated level, can be found in a child's punishment. If one examines a childhood where punishment has been corporal and frequent, he or she begins to understand the utter futility of the pain drive here. Punishment actually and literally and emphatically does no good of any kind whatsoever, but accomplishes quite the reverse, since it occasions a reactive revolt against the punishment sought, and is likely to cause not only a disintegration of a mind, but also a continued endevilment of the punishment source. Man reacts to fight sources of pain. When he fighting them, he is mentally broken and of little use to anyone else, much less themselves. You can take the case of a boy who was beaten with a hair brush every time he was bad. In researching this case, the most searching inquiry fails to reveal any vivid recall of why he was punished, but only that he was punished. The progress of the event would go something like this. Activity more or less rational. Fright at threatened punishment. Punishment. Sorrow over punishment. Renewed activity. The mechanics of the case show the person who has been engaged in some activity, which, whether others would consider it so or not, was nevertheless survival activity to that child, giving him or her either pleasure or actual gain, or even the assertion that he or she would or could survive. The moment punishment is threatened, old punishments go into restimulation as minor engrams, resting usually on major engrams. This begins the process to shut down analytical power to some extent, and the recording is now being done on a reactive level. The punishment takes place, submerging the analytical awareness so that the punishment records in the engram bank only. The sorrow following is still in the period of analytical shutdown. The analyzer gradually turns on. Full awareness returns, and then activity on an analytical plate can be resumed. All corporal punishments run this gamut, and all other punishments are, at best, locked, following the same pattern with only the complete shutdown resulting from pain missing. Is the tactic used to separate you. paralyzed due to your physical fitness to create a block. If we analyze your mind, your cognitive ability, wants this data for computation, it is not available. There is a reaction in the reactive mind when the matter is approached. But there are five courses the reactive mind can take with this data. There is a way out, and there is a means by which this can be overcome and put things back in their proper perspective. And there is no guarantee and no message between land and sky of knowing what course the reactive mind will take with the data itself, knowing the full engram bank. And if that is known, the person, can be cleared within a few hours' work and would need no punishment. Five ways of handling data make corporal punishment an unstable and unreliable thing. A ratio exists which can be tested and proven in any man's experience. A man is evil in the direct ratio that destructiveness has been leveled against him. An individual, including both individual societies, is liable to forget as individuals. Children react against punishment sources, whether that source be parent or government. Anything which sets itself forward against an individual as a punishment source will be considered in greater or lesser degree, as it is in proportion to the benefits, as a target for the reaction of the individual. The little accidental milk glass upset of children. The noise which just accidentally occurs on the porch where the children are playing. That little accidental ruination of Papa's hat or mama's love. These are often cold, calculated, reactive mind acting against pain sources. The analytical mind may temporize about love and affection and the need of three square meals. The reactive mind runs off the lessons it has learned, and the devil takes the meal. If one turned an idiot loose on an adding machine to let him audit the company's books and let him prevent the auditor from touching equipment and data which has to be his if any answers will be right, one would get very little in the way of correct answers. And if one kept beating the idiot and made him fat and powerful, the firm would sooner or later go into ruin and out of business. The reactive mind is the idiot. The auditor is I. And the firm is the organism, you. Punishment is the idiot. The helpless abatement of police about the confirmed criminal and the police belief in the criminal type and the criminal mind comes about through this cycle. Police, for some reason or other, like government, have become identified with society. Take any one of these criminals and clear him or her, and the society gains a rational being of which it can use all it can get. Prisons will get more numerous and more full. The problem of the child lashing back at his or her parents by negation and the problem of Jimmy the Cobb blowing his bank card apart and armed robbery stem both from the same mechanism. The child examined on the conscious level is not aware of his causes, but will put forth various justifications for his conduct. Jimmy the Cobb, waiting for this old, so very sensitive society to tie him down with straps in an electric chair and give him an electric shock therapy, will cause him to cease and desist forever. Examined for his causes, will pour forth justification to explain his life and conduct. The human mind is a free, wonderful computing machine. The reason it can evolve for unreasonable acts has staggered one and all social workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists. Without knowing the cause and the mechanism, the chances of drawing a correct conclusion by comparing all conducts available are as remote as winning a fan tan from a Chinese. Hence, the punishment has continued as the muddled answer to a muddled society. There are five ways in which a human being reacts towards a source of danger. These are also the five courses he or she can take on any given problem. And it might be said that this is five value action. I want to teach you something today, my beloved. The parable of the Black Panther is appropriate here. Let us suppose that a particularly black-tempered Black Panther is sitting on the stairs, and that a man named Gus, is sitting in the living room. Gus wants to go to bed, but there's a Black Panther. The problem is to get upstairs. There are five things that Gus can do about this panther. He can go attack the Black Panther. He can run out of the house and flee the Black Panther. He can use the back stairs and avoid the Black Panther. He can neglect the Black Panther. Or he can succumb, attack, flee, avoid, neglect, or succumb. All actions can be seen to fall within these courses. And all actions are visible in your life. Take the Father, who calls you all sorts of destructive things. You avoid, you flee, you neglect, and you succumb, but you never attack the promise. You stood your ground as a human being. State and status. He is the liar. He makes holy. I am who I am for myself. Not who this. I am a human. If a child is punished and thereafter obeyed, he can be considered to have succumbed. And the value of a child who will succumb to punishment is so slight that the Spartans of Rome thing for which he was punished was not right. He can't be assisted in his computation if punishment is entered into. He can flee the punishment source, which at least is not apathy, but merely cowardice by proximate judgment. The mighty wound is already by this. He can avoid the punishment sword, the doubtful compliment of being sly or cunning or pandering. Or he can attack the punishment sword either by direct action or by upsetting or fouling the person or the person who are the sources of punishment. In which instance he or she would be called on direct action a valiant fool, taking parental side into account, or in a less fashion be called covertly hostile, or he could be said to be negated. As long as a human being will attack as a response to a valid threat, he or she can be in fair mental condition defined as normal. And a child is said to be just acting like any normal child. Whenever you enter punishment into the computation, it no longer computes. It is entirely different in the case of experience. Life has plenty of painful experiences waiting for any human being without other human beings complicating the score. A person who is still unblocked in his or her dynamics, or who has been unblocked by psychological or psychiatric studies and absorb the most amazing amount of hammering in the business everyday living. Here, even when the reactive mind receives an engram as a result of his or her experience, the analytical mind can continue to cope with the situation without becoming aberrated in any way. I'll say again, man or man is a tough, resilient, competent character. But when the law of affinity begins to be broken, and such a breaking of affinity gets into the reactive bank, human beings as antagonistic sources of non-survival become a punishment source. If no contra or counter survival engrams involving human beings are in the earlier, or I should say before 5 years of age, content of the engram bank of the mind, full survival engrams are taken as a matter of course and are not severely aberrated. In other words, it is the breaking of affinity, the breaking of the love connection with the heart. With this fellow, this person, on an engramic level, which most solidly locks the mental dynamics. Man's affinity with man is far more a scientific fact than it is a poetic and idyllic idea. The cycle, then, of life, which will be normal, the current average state, or psychotic, is easy, is an easy thing to draw. It begins with a large number of engrams before birth. That is more in the dependent and rather helpless condition post-birth. Punishment of various kinds entering now as lock, TN, the negative engram. New engrams, which will involve the earlier ones, enter into play. New lock accumulates. Illness and aberrative actions set in most certain before the age of 40 or 50, and death ensues sometimes thereafter due to the breakdown of the spirit, the body, the mind, and the will. Short of the optimum solution of clearing these engrams, there are several things that can be done about aberration and psychosomatic ills. Things that I've stated before are organic and non-organic. That these methods are uncertain and of only limited value does not mean that they will not occasionally meet with some astonishing beneficial responses in life. Such methods can be classified under the headings of environmental change, education, physical treatment. Taking factors out of the environment of an aberration or aberree, or taking the aberree out of the environment in which he or she is unhappy or ineffective can bring about some astonishingly swift recovery. This is valid therapy. It removes the restimulator that restimulates individuals or takes the individual away from being restimulated into the negative aspects of life. Ordinarily, quite hit or miss, and more miss than hit. And it will not remove all of the restimulators by 9/10, since the individual themselves carries the bulk of either around with him or her, or is compelled to contact. I'm reminded of a case in my studies to find answers of one who has severe asthma. He has received it in a very severe burst and breath. This frantic parent carried him to every mountain asthma resort suggested in creation and spent tens of dollars in these buses for his cure. When this patient was finally cleared, engram refiled in distinctly where he could analyze it cognitively. It was discovered that the restimulator for his asthma was clean, cold air. The only certainty in the environmental approach is that a sickly child will recover when removed from being stimulative parents and taking away he or she is loved and feels safe. For his sickness is the inevitable result of restimulation of prenatal engrams by one or both of his or her parents. Somewhere along the line, there is probably a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, or some close person chronically into the first two zones of low self-esteem, of low life energy, pseudo mother or pseudo father or pseudo abortions. In the educational field, new data or enthusiasm may very well engram by overbalancing the reactive mind in the light of new analytical surge. If a man can simply be convinced he has been fighting shadows, or he can be persuaded to hang his fears on some indicated cause, whether that cause is true or not, he can be benefited. As I stated once before, it doesn't matter what anyone else believes, but it's your belief. And you are supported in your belief of what attacks your soul and your spirit. You can then be cured of the attack simply because you are believed and supported in your belief to draw out a problem. Sometimes we can be educated into a strong faith in some deity, God, or cult, which will cause you to feel so invulnerable that you rise above your engram by raising your survival potential in any way will raise your general health tone, will raise your mental tone, will raise your spiritual tone to a point where there is no longer a part, an equalizer, the negative reactive bank in your mind. Giving an education in engineering or music, where he or she can receive a higher level of respect, will often change you from such restimulation. A rise to a position of esteem is actually a change of environment, be it physical, emotional, mental, and by God, also spiritual. A rise in position of esteem. If a man can be made busy at a hobby or work by personal or exterior education, that is good for him. If art is your thing, express your mind through your art. If words is your thing, express your light mind through your words. But there is always that thing which will draw you up and not pull you down. It is by far the mechanism of choice to free your mind. The analytical mind becomes so engrossed that it takes itself more and more energy for its activity and begins to align itself with a new sense of purpose. Physical treatment resulting in improved visual conditioning will bring about hope or change in a man or woman's reaction by shifting him or her on their time track. It will key out the new are valid therapy. They are also in reverse the things which caused your aberration to manifest themselves and gave it biblical expression. There are wrong ways to act and wrong things to do and wrong ways to treat men and women, which, in light of what we know, are criminals. Busting a man or woman into an environment which stimulates him or her, and making him or her stay there is a slice of murder of the soul. An associate who is restimulative is bad, making a man or a woman stay with a married partner who is restimulative of all the things is unworkable. Born unless psychiatric therapy is used, making a child stay in a home where he or she is restimulated is most certainly inhibited, not only of his or her happiness, but of his or her mental and physical development. A child should have more rights about such things, more places to go where they are nurtured, where they are grown, where they are developed. Once again, I'll refer you back to how we began this program. Someone or someone loves you is not enough. Where love may be 80 to 90% of what you need, it still is not enough. Love, it is a beginning, a seed that needs cultivation to grow. It is cultivated with respect. It is nurtured with time. A dedication to grow your life. Love needs a best friend that wakes up every day wanting to see your development and not pulling you away from what inspires you. As surgery or exodentistry, if the psychosomatic plane, or that I should say has been in the psychosomatic plane, is utter barbarism in the light of true counseling and psychotherapy. Two things is normally psychosomatic. Organic illness, enough to fill several catalogs, are psychosomatic. No recourse to surgery of any kind should be had until it is certain that the ailment is not psychosomatic, meaning inorganic, or that the illness will not diminish by itself if the potency of the reactive mind, the fear of something, is reduced. Mental physical therapy is too ridiculous, the source of aberration, now a science, to be seriously considered or mentioned. For no thinking doctor or psychiatrist possessed of this information would touch another electrode for electroshock therapy or extreme pharmaceutical usage to be given to a patient which heightens extreme anxiety, or even glance at a scalpel or an ice pick, perform any operation on the prefrontal lobe of the brain unless that doctor or psychiatrist is himself so thoroughly aberrated that the act springs not from a desire to heal, but mostly from the utter and craving sadism which the end gland can bring a man just to sell a pharmaceutical medication. This is not so mad science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. To all who are listening, I pray and I hope if you missed the beginning of tonight's program, you go back into the archives and listen to this program from the beginning forward. And if you missed last week's program of which tonight's continuation into the world of demons and mental and spiritual health. This is for you. There are many branches in psychoanalysis, psychiatry, and counseling. As I said last week, it is actually a family of sciences governed by a single set of axioms. There is, for instance, educational psychiatry, which contains a body of organized knowledge necessary to train minds to their optimum efficiency and to an optimum of skill and knowledge in the various branches of the works of man's thinking. There is political psychiatry, which embraces the field of group activity and organizations to establish the optimum conditions and processes of leadership and intergroup relationships. And then there is medical psychiatry, and there is social psychiatry, and there are many such subdivisions which are sciences within themselves, guided by their own axioms. But what we are dealing with here tonight in this action is basic psychology, psychiatry, and therapy as applied to an individual. This is the most immediately important and most valuable subject matter to me personally and to the individuals out there listening to tonight's program. But tonight's program is for you, the listeners. But no book on therapy would be complete without a mention of the branch of therapy, which some say is even more important to the human family than therapy is preventative psychology. Rarely does anyone go about the process of preventative psychology. We are all sick in the mind. We are all suffering from something genetically to our core as a result of the way in which we were brought to North America, to the northern shores in 1555. We are all suffering with a mental health issue. If one knows the cause of something, he or she can usually prevent the cause from going into effect. The discovery and proof. And I use a man by the name of Ronald Ross as an example. The discovery and proof of Ronald Ross that the malaria germ was carried by the mosquito makes it possible to prevent the disease from committing the ravages it once enjoyed at the expense of people's ignorance. Generally, when one knows the cause of aberration and the organic or inorganic psychosomatic illness to which he or she can suffer, we can do a great deal toward preventing them. While preventative counseling is a large subject infiltrating the fields of industry and agriculture and other specialized activities of man, its basic principle is a scientific fact that engrams can be held to minimal content or prevented entirely, with large gains in favor of good, clean mental health and spiritual and physical well-being, and free social adjustment. The engram in very simple things. It is a moment when the analytical mind is shut down. Physical gain, drugs, or other means of punishment and delay of cognitive ability. The engram and the reactive bank is open to the retreat of an emotional or physical recording. When that recording has verbal content, it becomes most severely aberrative. When it contains antagonism on an emotional level, it becomes very destructive, is intensely post-survival in content. It is most certainly capable of thoroughly deranging a good life into a destructive life. The engram, among other things, determines your fate. The engram says that man has to fail to survive, and so he contrives numerous ways to fail. Engram, that demon circuit that speaks to you, whether it is voice or action, command that only can be experienced pain and suffering. The engram commands that he or she can only experience pleasure among the members of another race. And so what does he or she do? You go among other people that don't look like you and abandon your own. It commands that he or she must kill to live. So you go out and kill. These are demon circuit commands from the engram. And they are the far more subtle. The engram weaves its way from incident to cause the catastrophe which it dictates to you. A recent case was plotted out who has actually gone to enormous lengths to break his arm. But with a broken arm, he received the sympathy without which the engram said he could not live. The plot covered 3 years and a half, or I should say 3 years and half a hundred apparently innocent incidents, which, when netted together, told the story. The accident-prone person is a case with a reactive mind commands action. He is a serious menace in any society, for his accidents are reactively intentional and they include the destruction of other people who are innocent. This is Not So Mad Science with your host, Brother Harold Muhammad, here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I want to pay this short musical break a little bit of John Cole.
Brings us to the close of this edition of Not So Mad Science here on the Black Hole Radio Network. I pray that what we've shared, you find benefit and is helpful to you. It is my hope and that my prayer be answered. Glory to my Lord, the Most High. To you, my beloved, dear guests, friends, and listeners, I say to you that I leave you at this time. Keep the faith, baby. Keep the faith.